Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast, where top football coaches from around the country share their stories, philosophies, concepts, and strategies to help you get better on and off the field. Now, here's your host, Keith Grabowski.
Welcome to another episode of the Home Team Series on USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. Our guest host, Joel Nellis, has done a great job of bringing guys on to explain how they find balance in a challenging profession like football coaching, and we have another great one here today. Here's our guest host, Joel Nellis.
Hello, coaches. Welcome to the Home Team Podcast, where football coaches from around the country provide the coaching community with improvements to their game plans for winning as a husband and a father. Today, we're going to be speaking with head coach of Menominee High School in Wisconsin, Coach Joe Labuda. Coach Labuda began his career in Florida, coaching at North Marion High School in Gainesville. He then moved to Wisconsin, taking over at Menominee in 1989. To date, he has a coaching record of 306-56. He has won 5 state titles, 2-time runners-up, and 20-time conference champ. Coach Labuda was named the State Coach of the Year in 1993 and 2002. He was named as the Nike Midwest Region Coach of the Year in 1997. Most recently, he was recognized as the Wisconsin Football Coaches Association Positive Influence in Coaching Award in 2016. We appreciate Coach Labuda joining the podcast. Coach Labuda, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Great to be here and looking forward to it.
All right, let's jump right in and start talking about the stars of your home team, beginning with your wife. How did you meet this special woman?
She was a kindergarten teacher at a neighboring district, but she was coaching basketball in our district, and that's kind of how we met.
Okay. Is she still currently a kindergarten teacher, or is she retired, or is she...
She's actually a fourth grade teacher now, so she's still teaching. Yeah.
How many years has that been for her then?
We've been married for 24 years, and so... as you know, it's tough. You have to have a special person to be a coach's wife. So I've been very fortunate with having a wife that really understands.
And then what other passions or interests does she have outside of being a teacher?
She just really likes spending time with the kids and going for long walks with the dog, things like that. She loves sports, and I think if you're going to be married to a coach, you kind of have to be in that situation. So she loves watching sports, loves watching the Brewers and Packers and so on, besides, watching our high school team. And so I think anytime you're married to a coach, kind of a little bit of a prerequisite, basically, is that you have to be kind of into sports.
I would certainly agree with that statement. What is a character trait that makes her so invaluable in your life?
I think the biggest thing is she really understands what all the time that I put in, what it does for kids down the road. She really understands that, it's such an important role in society right now, especially with the way things are. These kids need male role models at this point in society, probably more than ever any time during history. And so I think she understands that. She's seen a lot of the kids that have come back and, that we run into it. Just out in the public and kids that, she knows what the sport does for kids. And so it's a lot of sacrifice on her part time-wise and especially when our kids were younger. And so, but I think in the long run, just watching our son go through the program and just watching kids through the years, she understands what the sport does for kids.
Let's talk about the other members of your starting lineup, your kids. What are their names, ages, and interests? And, brag on them a little bit. What makes them each, so unique to you?
Katie is actually doing her student teaching right now. She's 23, and she's going into special ed. And I think it takes a special person to go on to be a special ed teacher. And so I'm really proud of her that she's taken that avenue and, wants to choose an occupation where she's helping people. And so I'm proud of her at this point. So she's doing her student teaching right now. And hopefully she'll be looking for her first job coming up here this coming fall. And so, she went to college and played junior college softball for 2 years on a softball scholarship and then transferred to UW-Stout to finish up her special ed. So proud of her that she's, you know, fought through the journey of becoming a special ed teacher and all the things that come along with that. You know, it takes a special person with a lot of patience to want to be a special ed teacher and make a difference for those, you know, children. And so I'm really pleased with her at this point in her choice of her occupation and proud of her. And then my son is 20 years old, and he's a redshirt freshman at Wyoming State. He's going into business administration, and you know, he's part of the football program there. He was a high school quarterback, and he plays quarterback there as well.
What is his, talking about his journey as a football player in your program, how unique was it to coach your son and maybe provide some of our coaches who may be having that situation now or maybe down the road, any tips you would give them when coaching your own son?
You know, it was a special opportunity. You know, his was a unique journey because of the fact that he had Nate Stanley in front of him, you know, a year ahead of him. And so, you know, he was not our starting quarterback till his senior year. You know, and he had a great senior year and, you know, was player of the year in the conference. But he had to wait his turn. And, you know, as a coach, it was a good life lesson for him as far as patience. And, you know, and you know, you have to play the best players. And obviously, Nate Stanley was the best player by a long shot when he was a senior. So, you know, as a junior, my son just kicked and, you know, didn't see the field a whole lot because of the fact he had Nate Stanley in front of him, even though he ended up being a scholarship quarterback. It was just a unique situation that he had Nate in front of him. You know, they got along great. They're good friends. And, you know, he was, you know, and it's just one of those things where I think it was a good lesson for him and a good life lesson, just being part of a team. He had to wait his turn. And so it's one of those things where, you know, he started on the varsity basketball team as a sophomore, but in football, he had to wait his turn. And so, you know, it's one of those things where it was a good life lesson for him. My son is a unique experience because, you know, you get to talk about so much at home as far as, you know, the opponent of that week, the scout, you know, kind of what your thoughts are of the team, what's your son's thoughts are of the team. It's just a great experience to go through, and, you know, I would highly recommend it for anybody. You know, I think some guys say, well, you know, geez, I don't want to coach my son. I guess I was the other way. I thoroughly enjoyed it, you know, and it's been a journey where my assistant coaches have all basically been through the same thing. You know, Jay Stanley is my O-line coach, so he got to have that experience of coaching Nate, and you know, and now Nate's at the University of Iowa as a, you know, starting quarterback, and he'll be an NFL quarterback. You know, after this year, he'll get drafted, you know, probably in the first or second round. And, you know, Randy Stocky, one of my other assistants, you know, we got the privilege of coaching his son. You know, and he's a fullback at University of Wisconsin. You know, right now he's working with the ones, with, you know, as a fullback there. And, you know, Pat Bundy got the experience, my defensive coordinator, having his son on the team. So a lot of the guys on my staff got to go through that experience. I think it's really a positive experience to be able to coach your own son. It's just a unique experience. I think it allows you to really get close with your son.
Was your son the kind of person that, you know, wanted space at home? Or, you know, I know some guys, I talked to Coach Bullis, he would, you know, just kind of say, you know, when he walked in the door, kind of would end and things like that. But, or is it more so your son was interested in what, you know, what the game plan was and wanting to know more and willing to take more feedback? Or did you guys kind of have to have some of those clear lines of, you know, this is what I need, you know, to stop so that we keep a good relationship?
You know, as a quarterback, he always was very obviously interested in the game plan, things like that. But there's always that separation too, where, you know, as far as he's still a player. So, you know, like, you know, he didn't have any special input than any other player would have. And so, you know, as far as a game plan, you know, he always wanted to know what we were doing and stuff, but, you know, there wasn't really any special input, you know, compared to any other player on the team. And, but obviously, you know, it was great to talk to him about the games, after the games, you know, on Friday nights, you know, when he'd come home on Friday nights. You know, after he got home, after going and doing something with his buddies, it was, you know, it was fun to talk to him about, you know, the game and things like that. It just gave you a unique perspective on things and kind of where the team was at, you know, and, you know, also the tough side of things. You know, we lost a tough semifinal game to, you know, Brookfield East when they had Santiago, and, you know, you go through the down part of it too. You know, it was a 20-13 game and tough to take. You're that close to getting the state. side of things, you know, getting that close to going to state, losing by 7 points to a good team, and you know, see, you have to experience the downside of things as well.
Yeah, I can relate on the Santiago one. I guess, Coach, I don't know as much about your career as maybe I should. Is there ever a time when you were approached about another job? Obviously, you've been at Menominee now for, you know, a number of years. And have you ever been approached about another job and maybe thought about leaving? And how would you – and if so, did you and your wife ever have to, you know, talk about how that situation would work if you were to leave?
You know, I had several opportunities to go on to the next level at the college level. And I actually had two different college head coaching jobs offered to me. And, you know, I went through the interview because I was asked to. And when it was all said and done, and it's nothing against college coaches, you know, I have ultimate respect for college coaches. It just came down to, I was really to the point where I wanted to really experience watching my kids grow up and didn't want to hear about my kids growing up. And I think it's tough on college coaches with the recruiting aspect of things and being on the road. I just didn't want to be away and not see my kids play Little League and see them play. My daughter was a softball player and go to her volleyball games and things like that. My son was, you know, big into Little League when he was young, and so and I wouldn't have missed those experiences for anything. And so I had a couple of opportunities, you know, actually when I was coaching in Florida, you know, I almost went to Liberty University with Sam Rattigliano as a defensive back coach and chose to stay at the high school level instead. And so had some opportunities through the years where, you know, to go to the college level, but just chose to stay at the high school level. And as far as staying at Menominee, you know, just it's been a good fit for me. I like to hunt and fish, and I like this area, and I like the community, and that's why I never left, you know, and stayed, you know, been at Menominee for 30 years now.
Awesome. The next series of questions we call clock management, and talk about how you blend family and football. Other than a weekly dinner, you know, some guys, maybe the high school level, it's a little bit different. You know, guys are typically in the college level, going to go out on Thursday nights with their wife and things like that. High school level might be a little bit different, but maybe how do you stay connected to your wife and help your marriage during the season, other than maybe just a meal away?
You know, I think that is the toughest challenge in coaching, is balancing, without a doubt. And I think that's why some guys get out of coaching. Is the toughest challenge in coaching is balancing the family time with the extreme amount of time. And the time, you know, requirements, the time demands have gotten tougher through the years, not easier, because, you know, when I first started coaching, you know, there wasn't all the 7-on-7 tournaments and leagues and things there are now that, you know, are required, and there, you know, there weren't contact days and things like that. So it's actually become a greater demand during the summer. And so there is a real balancing act that you have to do. One of the things that I always really tried to do is I didn't go to a lot of college games on Saturdays, like a lot of high school coaches will, you know, go to the Badger game or so on. And I didn't do that a lot because I always tried to make Saturday a day that I spent with our family, because I knew, like, Sunday afternoons, you know, we were going to be meeting as coaches. So I tried to always, you know, spend that time on Saturdays and Sunday morning, you know, going to church, because I knew Sunday afternoon was going to be a time where we were going to be meeting as a staff. And so I really tried to do something on Saturdays a lot with my family, and, you know, and during the summer, try to spend as much time as I can. But it was definitely a balancing act, you know. At one time, I was the head football coach and head baseball coach, and, you know, I recall, you know, running from my baseball practice as soon as it was over to go get to my son's Little League practice, because I was coaching that team as well, and, you know, coaching my daughter's softball team as well, you know, when she was young. And so it was definitely a balancing act. And again, it comes back to what we made reference to earlier, is you better have a great wife that understands that. And I definitely have been fortunate to have that.
What is one thing maybe you do on the home front to help with things? So I know for me, it's like I'm a big dishes guy. I talked to Coach Bullis at Whitewater. He's like, oh, I fold the laundry. Is there anything you do to help on the home front, to help kind of things with the house stay organized and clean, or, you know, things like that?
You know, I actually do more of the outdoor stuff, and I I guess I'd be lying if I told you I did a lot of dishes. So, you know, but I do a lot more of the outdoor stuff, you know, taking care of the yard and that kind of stuff, the outdoor stuff. But one of the things that's unique to our program that's probably different for a lot of high school coaches and just always been a formula for success for us is we never brought the kids in on the weekends. That's just, you know, and it's unique. I know a lot of high school coaches would look at that and say, really, you know, and we just did, you know, from the time I came to Menominee, I've always told the parents, the players that, you know, we're going to work your kids hard during the week, but on the weekends, that's family time. And so we never bring the kids in on the weekend. So that's probably helped a little bit is our players know they have, and our players coach the, you know, the little flag football on Saturday mornings. But as far as bringing them in, as far as film time and lifting and stuff like that, we always try to get things taken care of during the week. And because a lot of the kids in this area also hunt and fish. And so, you know, that's one of the things that's helped a little bit, I think, as far as the longevity and being able to stay in it as long as I have is I think we've been careful about how much we brought kids in. I think we've been careful about, you know, not meeting just for the sake of meeting as coaches. It's, you know, when we meet, we get stuff done. And we work hard as anybody, you know, and we've been as successful as far as longevity as anybody. You know, we have the state's longest playoff streak, you know, making the playoffs 29 straight years. So we've been able to do it with that formula that we've had that's been different than a lot of people. You know, we've had kind of a unique system, and that's helped not bringing, you know, kids in on the weekends and having that requirement as well for our coaches. And I think that's why we've had the same coaches for so long. Is we haven't burned our coaches out. You know, I've had the same offensive line coach, same defensive coordinator, and, you know, for basically most of my career I've been on it.
Yeah, Coach, I'll just add to that. My first job here at Brookfield Central, I had a coach that would come in and bring the kids in on Saturdays, and, you know, it was a long, I know some guys do it, and that's great. It just kind of got to be long. And the one thing that when Coach Kennedy took over here and he's like, we're not bringing the kids in on weekends. He made a really good point that if you're going to have kids that are going to go to college games and visits and miss your Saturdays, then if that kid can't make it, then, you know, and he's going to be probably the leader of your team or, you know, some of your most impactful players, then what's the point? And, you know, we, like you said, we get our time in, make it up on Mondays. You know, Mondays we stay late as we need to, and we kind of account for that time. And I think the success here has obviously been, you know, as good as any. But I think it's a great point to make that, you know, you got to do in the long term, right? Because your goal is to maintain coaches, and you know, football is a violent sport, and I can't imagine, you know, Saturday mornings, you know, after a game, getting up and trying to, you know, come in and go through walkthrough and everything else. So I think it's a really valid point that you make, and you know, I think it's a great concept. And having lived through it myself, I can attest to the fact that I think it adds a lot of value for the parents and the players as well.
I think you got to be careful. Even like, you know, you've been through long playoff runs. It gets to be long. You know, when you get to that, you know, semifinal round, state championship round, you know, now you're talking a lot of weeks from when you started. I think if you're bringing kids in on Saturday, you can bring your kids out and your coaches out, because you know, you're going to ask your coaches to come in on Sunday afternoon and do, you know, your coaches meetings. And now if they don't have one day off, I think you end up burning kids out or coaches out. So I think that's one of the reasons why we haven't done it as well.
Talking to Coach Ruff, I know you had the question is really going to come down to, well, how do kids stay involved in the program? I know it was funny talking to Jake here and saying it's pretty crazy to see all the kids, like you mentioned, Nate and your son and other kids that have grown up being managers in your program, and then obviously all getting a chance to go through and now become college players. You know, what different ways, besides maybe being a manager, have you had kids involved in the program that their coaches are, you know, their dads are coaches?
You know, the manager is a special experience, and you know, having the kids be the manager and then kind of come all the way up through the program. So, you know, like Nate Stanley and Luke Stanley, you look at, you know, Nate at Iowa, Luke played at North Dakota, you know, Randy Stocky's older son, you know, Nico played at Mankato State, you know, and his younger son's at, you know, now at Wisconsin, and my son, you know, they were all managers together at one time. So it's kind of funny. funny to look back and see what happened to all of them, you know. But it just offers, you know, we've had a lot of kids, you know, Coach Bundy's son was also a manager that, you know, on our staff. And so it's really a unique experience. You know, I just remember, like, when my son was real little, like a kindergartner in first grade, driving home after practice or after a game, and we had some great conversations, and he'd ask about different things, and obviously idolized a lot of the players, you know, and I just think it gives you a unique perspective on things, having your son with you. And I think that's why we're also, you know, as us coaches, that we are also close with our sons, is because of the way, you know, they started as managers, riding back and forth to practice with you. It's just a very unique experience that I wouldn't have traded for anything. I would highly suggest it. I would highly suggest that for anybody that has a young son as a coach, and is, get him on the practice field with you. The kids treated him great when they were young, and it's just a really unique experience.
Yeah, I'm so thankful my son did that the last year, and Coach Kenny was great, always great about having them around. And any kid is welcome, and it's just such an awesome environment. He knows how much time we commit and things like that, and it was always great to just know that my son was welcome, and like you said, the players treated him great. You got to see a different side of that world, and I think grow better appreciation for it, and, you know, understand the time that was spent away was adding value, even at a young age, which is great.
Let's take a quick break here to talk about our Focus 3 leadership system. We partnered with Brian Kite in Focus 3, and we have a great series of courses here that he's offering at a 50% discount to coaches. Check it out at usafootball.com/Focus 3. You have the R factor in Lead Now for building culture, building the E plus R equals O formula into everything you do, and learning how to teach both yourself and your players to be great leaders. It's necessary to have a great culture in your program, and this resource is going to help you get there. Check it out at usafootball.com/Focus 3. Let's go back to Coach Nellis and Coach Labuda.
There's a common saying amongst coaches that the person with the marker last will win. How do you guys avoid being over analytical every week and therefore spending unnecessary time preparing for the upcoming opponent?
You know, I think there is a common element, you know, a mistake that a lot of coaches make is trying to put too much in each week. And, you know, we've kind of always tried to stay to the point where what we do, we want to do well. And so, you know, we run a lot of sets and a lot of different things, but we run really, you know, when it comes down to, we run the same plays on a lot of different sets and try. My offensive line coach, Jay Stanley, I consider one of the best offensive line coaches in the state. And he is very good at just being precise and working hard on technique and making sure what we run well up front. And so we've kind of taken that, you know, angle most of the time is what we do, we want to do well. And so, you know, I think you're right on when I think a lot of coaches try to put in too much each week and then don't do anything well. And so we've kind of really tried to do, I mean, there's no secret for us. If you're playing a game down the line or we need a first down, I mean, we're going to run our 26 toss and that's our 25 to where we run it left and right. I mean, there's no secret. We always just tell our kids they're going to know what we're going to run when the game's on the line. It's just whether they can stop it or not. And that's we're not saying that from an arrogant standpoint. We're just saying that's from the time our kids are in eighth grade, they know how to block that play against any different front. And that's been a staple of our program.
Coach, what is one important aspect of parenting that you think carries over well into coaching?
You know, I think, unfortunately, it's not a real vibrant thing right now in society. And parenting are very simple. But, you know, you have to be fair with your children, but also very demanding. There's a lot with coaching. The old saying, you know, kids don't care. You know what you care, I think, is the same thing with parenting. That they have to be with the children and be with your children. But online, they have to love them and players. And so I think the problem with a lot of parents or away from them. And so I think it's true. It's, you know, but you still got to be a coach and not.
Yeah, I agree on the discipline side. I think it's a great carryover, and you know, sometimes I'm harder on my son and maybe I need to be on my players. but I think it's something that could, you know, does need to carry over, and you need to have those boundaries and establish a firm line to make sure they grow, because the real world does have discipline, and if you don't understand that, then it's gonna be a hard lesson for those kids to learn later in life. It's better to learn it in our environment where there's potentially less consequences, and they can hopefully learn and grow from those experiences.
You know, and I think, yeah, from an early age on, yeah, I think you have to teach kids priorities. I remember when my son was little, he loved to watch the Brewers on TV, and we would always have to statement, you know, you'll do homework done. So he'd get his homework done so he could watch the Brewers, you know, and after dinner. And I think it's those kind of things where you priorities, hey, this has to come first, and I think that's what's missing a little bit society right now.
Coach, talk a little bit about how you get your players involved in your youth program. I think it's a kind of a neat thing that you guys do at Menominee that maybe a lot of coaches at this point could benefit from hearing, in terms of maybe when you start contact, things like that. A little bit off the topic of what we're at, but having talked with you about it, I think it's worth sharing. I mean, how your youth program is set up, and then how your players get involved with that every week.
You know, we've had a real unique situation for the last years, and it's kind of funny now as everything seems to be migrating toward what we've been doing for 30 years. And, you know, I used to get coaches that used to look at us like we were crazy because we contact football in our community until eighth grade. And back 30 years ago, and even 20 years ago, people used to think that was crazy. I mean, how can you still have a good program? And I think it's why we've kept so many kids out is because of that. Is, you know, so at our program starts in kindergarten through third, we do a program called the Little Punters, and that's coached by our coaches and all our players. And then they go from the punters, then they go to football at fourth and fifth grade. And those, again, is coached on Saturdays, you know, mornings by our players, strictly by our players. We do a, you know, clinic that we show our coaches, our players how to coach them, and we work with them. And then in sixth and seventh grade, they're coached by adults in the community. Most of them are former line, and they play in a 7-on-7 league at night. And then finally in eighth grade, they finally get pads for the first time, and that's strictly a late hit by weight. You know, we get a large number of kids in eighth grade that try it. You know, we, you know, sometimes we'll have to, up to 70, 80 kids that'll try it. I'm 65, some 70, somewhere in there. And those are coached by our teachers in the middle school. We have all our coaches in our eighth grade program are all teachers in our system. And from fourth and fifth grade on, system, even though it's like football, they're running plays. By the time they start, you know, in fourth and fifth grade, it's like football, and all the way up is our same terminology. And our players are involved. Really enjoy coaching the flag football. And so the first time our kids get back in eighth grade, and then even in eighth grade, it's divided by weight. We have a lightweight and heavyweight, and we play other teams that have lightweight and heavyweight teams. So we've been doing this for 30 years, and it seems like everybody's migrating. But I think I've always thought, because when I coached in Florida, I used to see tackle football at the fifth grade. I thought it was where it can be done. That time wasn't very good there. They're pushed by a kind of overzealous staff.
Coach, I think it's been, you know, it's been neat to hear your perspective and how you've done it for so long. And like you said, that's kind of where the world is migrating. And Keith just did a podcast with a guy from Avon, Ohio, and really just talking about a developmental level. I think you've done everything that's developmentally appropriate. And I really think it's awesome that your players get involved and enjoy the, you know, the competition of being able to coach against one another as well as play with each other. All right, Coach, the last question I call victory formation. When the outside world looks at a coach, they will judge them based on wins and losses or potentially accomplishments of their players. But the legacy of a coach could have on his players and his family is much more lasting than anything that can be measured. What legacy or impact are you striving to create through coaching that you couldn't do in any other profession?
You know, I personally think being a high school coach is one of the most important jobs in America, especially nowadays when there's so many kids that don't have a male role model in their life or have no male influence. And we spend a lot of time talking to our coaches from the eighth grade level up about the difference between success and significant success. And the way we look at success, you know, you can kind of measure wins and losses, but more importantly, significant success is what are these kids going to be like in 20 years from now? What are they going to be like 15 years from now? And so that's the difference between success and significant success. And to be honest with you, I get, you know, obviously I want to win just like any other coach, but I get just as much pleasure out of seeing my players down the road and they're seeing them as great dads and, you know, great husbands. And I see them at church with, you know, their kids and they're proud of, you know, coming over and introducing me to their children and things like that. And to be honest with you, running into kids that you had that are now adults and they're, you know, police officers and doctors and things, you know, professions that are honorable professions. And just that probably gives me as much joy as anything to know that, you know, somewhere along the line, you probably made a difference in having significant success rather than just success.
Awesome. Well, we really appreciate your time, Coach. It's been wonderful to hear all your different things that you do and the way you've integrated your family and into your program. We wish you nothing but the best this upcoming season, and we'll be following along.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you again to Coach Nellis and Coach Labuda for sharing some great ideas here on USA Football's Coaching Coordinator Podcast. If you're enjoying the podcast, please head over to iTunes and click a 5-star rate. Take a minute to write a review. Check out everything we're doing on Twitter at FBDEV Coach, our new Twitter handle for coaches. We have great content there daily. And check out our systems for all forms of contact in the game. That's blocking, defeating blocks, and tackling at footballdevelopment.com. Go and get our free shoulder tackling system, as well as register to get 3 free videos from any system. You'll really find these resources helpful. These are skills that you can develop right now in the off season, and there's nothing more important than blocking, defeating blocks, and tackling in this game. It's the heart of what we do, but really we haven't found a great way to practice and build those skills in the off season until now. You're going to get everything in our systems that's going to work, all those postures, all that footwork, all the hand placement, and it's going to show you how to do it in drills that don't involve football equipment, the shoulder pads, anything like that. Take a look at it at footballdevelopment.com.
Thanks for listening to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. For more resources, visit the Coach Performance Center at usafootball.com.